Lord, who shall sojourn in your tent? Who shall dwell on your holy hill? He who walks blamelessly and does what is right and speaks truth in his heart, who does not slander with his tongue and does no evil to his neighbor, nor takes up a reproach against his friend, in whose eyes a vile person is despised, but who honors those who fear the Lord, who swears to his own hurt and does not change, who does not put out his money at interest and does not take a bribe against the innocent. He who does these things shall never be moved. The words of Psalm 15, a harsh mirror to look into, one which I think, if it is the final word of God to us about how he shall judge us, will leave us all in a rather disastrous place. And it reminds us of our most important rule. We can just kind of be silly about it and call it the most important three rules about reading the Psalms. Do you remember? The Psalms are about Jesus. That's number one. Number two, it's like it. The Psalms are about Jesus. And number three, I think you know where I'm going now. The Psalms are about Jesus. That's right. They're his Psalms. Now, he's given us to pray into them. He's brought us into them because he's made us one with his body. You're baptized into his death and resurrection. You're fed with his body and blood. You're declared and adopted a child of God. We are sons of God because we are one with the Son of God. So we can pray these prayers, but only through, with, under, in, as a part of, body, members of Jesus. So we can't really just let this judge us, but read it. Read it as describing who Jesus was when he walked on this earth, the man who does have the right to dwell in God's highest heaven, who is in himself now the Ark of the Final Covenant, who has tabernacled in the flesh of God and shall remain so forever. He is blameless. He does what is right. He speaks truth at all times. And he does no evil to his neighbor, nor takes up the reproach against even his friends, even his friend Judas, who betrayed him with a kiss. He says, with a kiss, Judas. But there's no slander there. There's no animosity there from Jesus. He honors those who fear the Lord. Remember how he prays for his disciples. He prays that they would be protected. And he prays for all people who would come to believe in him through their words, that though Satan might sift us like wheat, that he would not have dominion over us. Jesus, who never considered his earthly goods something to use to get more earthly goods, nor once did he consider becoming a, what you call, a respecter of persons, one who would treat someone different than somebody else because he's going to get something out of it, right? Taking a bribe of one form or another to give someone else what they want and turn your back on those they despise. Remember how often he was accused of eating with the wrong people. Jesus, because he fulfilled the law perfectly, acted in total accord with the will of God, will never be moved. Yea, even though we should string him up and murder him until his body is dead, 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 he would never be moved. And he wasn't. He said, go ahead, do it, try, see if you can. I'm going to walk out again 3 days later just so you know what's happening. And no one was ready. You know, no one was waiting there because we didn't know, because we don't have that kind of steadfastness, but he does. And that's the good news. That's why we're Christians. We're not Christians because of how good we're going to get now, how high we're going to climb now. We're Christians because of what he did coming down into our midst, how high he climbed on that cross, and how much higher he climbed out of that grave. Not to just prove himself, but to establish the gift that he now gives to you and me. Now, you might notice I skipped over one bit there that, again, it just kind of runs contrary to our American niceness. That it is a good thing, this psalm says, and therefore Jesus did, that we would despise a vile person. Now, part of the reason we don't like stuff like this is because we're assuming that anybody who would be called vile is being falsely accused. But see, that's the thing. There really is such a thing as vileness. There really is such a thing as evil. One who, strictly speaking, scoffs at the actual true God, has no interest in him whatsoever, and wants to just plagiarize lies from the devil all over the cosmos. And God despises that, Rightly so. It's lies. They destroy people. They hurt people. That's the problem with lies. They actually hurt people. False teaching hurts people. We should despise things that hurt people. And we should despise the man, according to the word of God, who loves hurting people. Now, we don't have the freedom to just go around making these decisions on our own from our hearts. We've got to judge according to what the word of God says, why the Ten Commandments, the Creed, the Lord's Prayer are so important. Nor are we given the right as Christians to act upon this, but we are given the right to pray according to it. That we would despise wickedness for what it is, preach against it according to the word of God, and pray for his resolution, particularly in our own flesh, right? It's always about repentance. It's always about confessing our own poor, miserable sin and trusting in Christ to having had the ability to overcome it. So that he does despise us, which is why he saves us. He wouldn't have to save someone he didn't despise. They'd be fine as they are. He despises the vile, and yet he dies for us. And that's the miracle. That's the wonder of the good news that we have in who Jesus is and what he's done for us. You're listening to His Time on Worldwide KFUO, the messenger of good news.